Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 574. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Guys, COVID's on the rise. Things are getting bad again, but it's okay because we have Shrek to lead us through the dark times.
Thought we might avoid it. No, Tony. Just
Shrek never lets you down. Never lets you down.
Jeff is here.
Hi.
Like he has no counter to fucking Shrek.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, it's
he's an ogre.
It's like you've seen the previews for Spider-Man, right? Like you've seen that, like he gets Doctor Strange to like cast a spell.
Yeah,
that's what I want to do. I want to get Doctor Strange to cast a spell and remove Shrek
Make
from
us forget
the universe.
About Shrek.
Please just forget about Shrek. It's been a weird week. Like, I mean, I think we played a bunch of Halo and not much else.
Yeah, I don't know that I played anything else.
I'm super into that game. Than Halo? I thought all the other games were canceled.
I mean, they pretty much are right now.
I did turn on my Switch last night, and there was like a whole row of games that I had bought on Black Friday and totally forgot about. So that gives you an idea how much I've been playing games besides Halo. I haven't turned on my Switch in fucking weeks. So
yeah, did any of you guys run that Nintendo Switch year in review? Like they have like a Spotify type
yeah, thing. No, I didn't do it. I saw everyone doing it and I forgot to do it.
Yeah, mine's just like embarrassing. I didn't use my Switch at all this year.
I play it a lot, but I don't think I would put up the stats that I saw a lot of people do. Like I do play a lot of Switch, but
I'm sure you like probably like easily outpaced me. I was at like 35 hours on the Switch this year.
Wow. No, see, like I think I would say I'm pretty even split between Switch and Xbox, and those are like my two main consoles. Maybe even a little bit, like a little slight edge to Switch. So I'd be interested to see. I should do it.
Yeah, I'd like to see where you're at, because, like, I think...
Where is that? Find it.
Yeah, it's out there. If you just, like, do Nintendo year end or something like that, it'll kind of point you in the right direction. Yeah, I think my most played Switch game was Mario Golf, and that was, what, back in June? July, maybe. I have full months where I have zero time played, so which is probably still more than my PS5 got used.
Yeah, I've barely used my PS5 at all.
You said you played for 35 hours. You said,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Oh wow, I'm automatically signed in, and it's generating it for me. And what was your most played game?
Mario Golf. I think it was like 9 hours of that.
Oh shit, I've probably played a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, you probably double, triple that easily. You were playing it with other people, though, so...
Yeah, that might actually be my most played game. I'll let you guys know in a second.
Yeah, Tony, like, I mean, I'm glad I have a PS5 for when the games come out, because they're still hard to get, but...
That's kind of it. Like, I got mine for the exclusives, and like, there haven't been any that I've been like, what would I play on it that is exclusive? And there's just nothing that's interesting to me.
I mean, for me, the last time, like anything, like I bought anything on it was Ratchet.
Yeah,
and that was back in June.
Like, and Ratchet, it's like that. That's a game that interests you, but like,
yeah. Not a game for you normally. Yeah,
No. Well, I got it for my kids for Christmas, so it'll finally my PS5 will go on again. And of course, my kids have played Bugsnax like obsessively.
Oh yeah.
So it's not like my system hasn't gotten used. But like the only game I've played on it is Spider-Man Miles Morales, which was also out for PS4, so I really didn't need it for that. And I'm not paying, you know, $70 or I guess $50 when it was on sale for the upgrade to Ghost of Tsushima.
Is that what the upgrade cost? Wow.
It's $70. Like you if you own the game, you pay less.
Okay.
But like the definitive edition, even when it was on sale, was $50. Like I'm not paying that.
No, and you've already played through it too, right?
I've platinumed the game, so I really don't. Like, it's the only game I ever platinumed, so I think it's great. I think it's awesome. Am I going to play through it again like that? No, I've done everything there is to do. They added a new island. I'm really not interested. If they want to like build a new storyline and like, you know, I'll play 5.
Yeah.
But, like, and that's what I got the PS5 for. Like, I want the next sequel to Horizon Zero Dawn. I want like those games. And where are those games? Please give those to me.
Hopefully next year. I think Horizon's early next year.
Yeah, Horizon should be soon. Hopefully. And then I won't feel like I, you know, although I say I wasted my money. I mean, the system's still going to cost $500 for a while. So.
Yeah, it's not. It's not like by the time their stuff comes out, there's going to be a PS5 Slim or a Pro, and then the normal model is going to drop like in price. No, it's still really hard to get. It's going to be $500 for quite some time.
Yeah. So, I mean, did I need it at launch? Probably not. But I have one. A lot of people who want one don't have one. And when the games actually do come out, I'll be able to play them. So
yeah.
And want to hear some stats?
Yeah, give us your stats, Jeff.
I played 35 games this year.
That's more than my 6, I think.
that's 5 less than last year. I did 324 hours of gameplay, which is down from my 491 of last year.
How much was it, Jeff?
324 hours, so about 10 times.
Almost 10 times over me.
My most played game was Skyward Sword HD, actually. 48 hours, yeah. And below that is Diablo 2 with 38 hours and Monster Hunter Rise with 32 hours. So I'm kind of surprised that Mario Golf didn't make that cut. Last year it was 185 hours on Animal Crossing. So yeah. I don't know.
Makes sense.
324 hours.
That's a good amount.
It could be about half of what I did this year. I don't know. I don't play a ton of games always. So.
35 games is a lot. There are people that don't play, you know, 15 in a year. So 35 games on one system is
exactly
chunky.
My Switch is getting played. It's still getting lots of use, even though it was kind of a lighter year for like big Nintendo games. I guess, you know, it was a lot of like, here's Mario Party and here's WarioWare stuff.
Yep,
there was that Metroid game.
Did you, Earl has joined us, by the way. Did you run your stats?
Yes, I was embarrassed by it, so I can run through them real quick. 39 games down from 46. I did not try it out again. I'm on this 108 hours down.
Wow. Okay. 39 games, but 108 hours. So like,
yep,
almost about two and a half hours apiece.
So I ran stream on time played. I guess
it's gonna get worse when you figure out what my most played game is, quote unquote, which is the Super Nintendo app. At 27 hours, then Age of Calamity at 11 hours, and Murder by Numb is at 11 hours. I mean, I could tell you. I mean, I went through this last year as well. I could stack you one, and I could tell you my most played game on the Xbox is going to be Fortnite.
Yeah.
For the same exact reason is that most of my game time now, and I mean, we go through this podcast weekly, and I don't play a ton of games on my own. A lot of them is just stuff I play with friends. And the Super Nintendo is a lot of, I played Mario Picross for a good part of the year. That took up several months. That's like 2 hours every Wednesday for like 3 or 4 months. I played Kirby 3, Kirby and Dream Man or whatever, Super Kirby. And then I've played, and now I'm playing Kirby Superstar. So out of that, just like have an extending date with a friend every week to play that. Same reason Fortnite, almost every lunch break that I'm not in the office. It's just really been a down year for me doing anything on my own. Like, I call it a spade. Most of my Age of Calamity time comes from like when I'm just like, I don't have a ton to discuss on the podcast. I'm just going to throw this on because I fade in the background. This dumb mind is fun. So
nice.
I think as a in the new year, I think it will be Mario Party when I get more friends and schedule. I mean, not say I have friends when we can find time to schedule to play together. There we go. Because it is, you know, like Mario Party is an investment. It's like a, at minimum, ask hour and a half of somebody's time. Yeah. And doing that with three other friends is not the easiest thing in the world as an adult.
It is. Is that Mario Party game online?
Yes.
Let's Jeff, play you
got Mario Party, right? Jeff will play with you.
I am very sad that I've not really played that game. And I like it. Everyone's getting a copy for Christmas, so we can fucking play it.
Oh, are you getting us copies?
That's
if you give me a copy, I might play.
That's great news for us, Tony. Jeff's buying us Mario Party.
I got Melissa's daughter, so that it's at least one person I can make play it.
I mean, you can't make her play. You can give it
to her. She asked for it.
That's nice. That's good. She's interested in
it. You should not say it that way.
She asked to play it with me. Yeah. Well, Jeff, you are the Switch King this year.
As every year.
Although I think Earl tried more games than you did.
A little bit more, yeah. But like, how many hours did you say you played overall? Like 100 something?
180. So yes, I started out again. I mean, to be fair, out of them, I also imagine they probably count like the demos and stuff I've tried for
podcast. Probably.
And then there's a lot of games that I do kind of start and I'm interested in. And honestly, it's because I'm not going out as much. Like, I mean, last year was carried by Animal Crossing. Animal Crossing was half my time. Years before that are carried by the fact that I used to commute into work and I'd have like an hour at lunch to play something. I'm not doing, and that's not that I honestly don't play a ton of systems. My free time during the day is taken by Fortnite at lunch, and after work, I tend to just watch movies or TV shows. Have a game night with you folks every so often. Have a game night on Wednesday with a friend that's mostly Switch. Have a game night on Wednesday later that night, which is mostly Xbox. And that's the extent of my gaming for the week, usually.
Yeah, we missed you this week with some Halo.
Yeah, it's been a wild and crazy week. Because, I mean, this is the unofficial Christmas week. Because everybody kind of goes away after this week. So it's kind of getting, like, I'm late today because I just finished my work party. Which I joked last week because it started at 5:30. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to be late for it. And, like, we finished up, but, like, some people wanted to stay behind and get drinks. And I'm like, who's going to say no to drinks? Then I'm like, yeah, let me just go home. And I didn't want to take a taxi, so.
Fair enough. Yes, we did play some Halo. Tony and myself, our buddy right. Walt, we played, and then Jeff joined in as Tony left.
Tony hates Jeff. Confirmed.
I was avoiding him definitely.
It was funny because it was, Walt goes, "Hey, Jeff wants to play," and Tony's like, "I gotta go." Like, maybe if you guys are still on later, I'll play. I gotta go right now.
I came back later. I actually played some of the campaign after you guys stopped.
After Jeff left.
Yeah, I was like, oh, they're not there anymore. Oh, well.
So you don't have to check him when Jeff signed off. He's like, okay, Jeff's gone. I could go back on.
I was probably still on playing the campaign.
Yeah, I think you were in a party by yourself. Like, oh, Jeff's alone.
That's very possible.
I'm going to leave him there.
It's just the remnants of our party. Yeah, and we had a bigger party going when we played Saturday night. We had five people in that. Played a bunch of big team battle, which was really chaotic.
Yeah, I don't like it as much.
Oh, see, I like big team battle.
No.
It's very Battlefield-ish for you, yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm used to, like, modes with larger maps and more people and, like, trying to, like, maintain like or get a view of like the larger situation, whereas like most Halo matches are 4-on-4 and there's not a whole lot of larger situation to do that with.
Yeah, you can't sit back and kind of like oversee everything,
right?
It's like there's action.
I will go to the right flank where my brothers are, like, and then you get there and everyone's dead because there's only three guys there and they all died.
Yep, or there's three people in three different locations because nobody can stick together and they immediately die. Or one person just runs off in front of us and is like, hey, where are you guys? Why aren't you with me?
Yeah.
And we're not talking about anybody in particular, but
Wow, it sounds like you are.
We would never mention that Walt tends to wander off by himself and die.
Yell at us.
Then yell at us, why aren't you guys with me? Well,
but just to confirm, you're not saying Walt's name.
No, it was not Walt. It may have been Walt. I don't know. I feel like there's a huge difference in Halo in actually having a group of four and having a group of three with a random. Like a huge, massive, massive difference. It's a huge advantage.
It depends on the other team. Because if the other team is just, like, I have a friend, whenever we used to play, he always used to get mad when you played against a clan that all have, like, the same, like, you know, like, acronym around their name. Because it's, like, they're so well-coordinated. And, like, even if they don't communicate, like, you know, like, they know how to pick up each other's weaknesses. Yeah. Like, I think a really good team together, it's hard to beat. Where, like, if it's, like, you and, like, three randos, it's hard. Then I think
impossible.
With four friends, if they're really good at the game and they're not Jeff, it's probably easy sailing.
I feel like, so Chris, Walt, and myself have played a lot of this game over the years. You could tell when you were facing against a team of four people.
Yeah.
Like, there's a distinct difference there.
Yes.
Like
Like
we were fine. We were fine. Like, we won our first three matches in a row. It was smooth sailing. We were dominating. And then we hit a team. They just ran right over top of us like we sucked. Like, oh, that's four people working together. That's what that looks like.
Yeah. It's like three people working, even if the one random guy is off doing his own thing, can beat, like, four individuals.
Yes.
But when it's four on three and a random guy running off, like, you have no hope. And it ebbs and flows. Like, I mean, Jeff, we saw this, right? Like, we'd have really good matches, and then, you know, a couple matches later, we can't do anything. We can't shoot our guns. Like, immediately die.
Yeah.
And they're pitting you back and forth. It's a good time. Big team battle doesn't really have that issue, because even if you go in as a squad of four, like, you are not coordinating.
Yeah, I mean, there's no guarantee that you're even near each other when you start the game.
Right. Or, like, we had five in our squad, well, five in our party, in our fire team, but they were putting sometimes two of us into a different squad, and you would spawn on different sides of the map, and not anywhere near your partners. It was impossible. I would like, if we get a bunch of people again, though, to just, like, do some custom games with custom rules and...
Oh, that'd be fun.
We could have done it fucking Saturday night. I just stupidly did not suggest it.
Yeah, it's, Eric reached out to me too. It's like, hey, you want to play? I'm like, oh, I got other friends I'll play with tonight. Sorry. Didn't even think, like, hey, why don't we just all join up together?
I honestly was not sure if you could do that yet. I thought maybe that was because there's so many features that are held back right now. I was like, oh, maybe you can't even do custom, you know.
Yep. Oops. No, custom games are there. Custom rules. You can even save the settings on it, but you can't make your own maps yet because Forge isn't out. They did add a new playlist this week. That was nice. Slayer only playlist. Fiesta is a permanent fixture. Free for all and a tactical Slayer are all there. I think we played a bunch of Slayer and just, like, objective-based modes. Didn't jump into any of the other ones, but it was a good time. The challenges also seem a little more easily aligned. Like, hey, just go and get points in Oddball. Get wins in Oddball. So it's like, you know, hey, try to play the game properly, and you'll get your experience that way. Tony, how much of the campaign have you played?
I think I beat the first boss, dude.
So
and then I made it to the surface. Okay. Yeah. And okay. Then I haven't gone any farther than that.
Okay.
Have you played any of the campaign yet?
I'm just beyond Tony, because I will say, I think the opening sequence where, like, you do open up the world, that's a really great when it's like the thing falls down and you see, like, this wide world. That was pretty gnarly. So I finished that little area where you find a bunch of people and then you secure the area for the dropship. Okay. And then I started to search for things in the area because it tells you, like, oh, you miss X number of things. And I started to do that. And then I've not been home since then. So.
And Jeff, you are the furthest of us.
Is Jeff still with us?
Did we lose Jeff?
Rest in peace, Jeff. We'll miss you.
Yeah, so I think Jeff is way past just like hearing what he's been talking about in our group chat. Like, he's well past even. Like, I just unlocked the second area, which isn't much further than you guys. Like, I've been kind of clearing out the markers and stuff. Like there's all these like points to go collect, like these armor cores, which are basically the skill points. Malinir armor, which is the unlocks in multiplayer. There's like tons of stuff. There's radio towers that you don't have to climb. You just shoot them to make them blow up. And there's the bases. There's, you got to go rescue Marines, which is a little weird with the story because the pilot's like, no, like, everyone's dead. We got to go. There's a ton of Marines still on this Halo ring. Like,
as I say, the pilot's very eager to go, but it sounds like he has, it's kind of like, what is that, Christopher Interstellar, where he's like watching the video of his kids, and like, this guy wants to go home. He's like, everybody's dead, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. Say.
But I'm with him. I mean, like, even the AI is like, I don't know much about this world, but I'm with him. We're outnumbered, we're outgunned. I don't know how you plan on winning. And Chief is like, I got this, don't worry.
I'm the murder man. I will kill everybody on this ring. We will take it back for humanity.
I will say this much from what little I played, even in that first opening segment, the grapple hook is so amazing. I like just being able to, like, whatever, like grapple in like a explosive barrel or what cores.
Then the plasma cores.
Yes. Yeah. And like doing that and like chucking it into a group of enemies. And like while they're doing that, they just grabbing some ammo and shooting them. Like, some of them kill them automatically, some of them don't. Some people don't die. Or like, even if like you're behind them just shooting that stuff. There's like, again, I mentioned last week, like sometimes you'll grapple into enemies and you'll just kind of see them ducking as you come flying. You can either shoot them while you're doing this, or like you come and you just hit them. And it's almost an instant KO. You can also do it in multiplayer, which is where I earned that tactic. And it's just so fun. It's just a fun addition. It's kind of like, I hate to make the comparison of Breath of the Wild, but it's kind of like that cross where it just opens up exploration and all this wild and crazy stuff you can do. And I think much like that game, like, so far it's not like, you know, like, I know what you're going for. It's kind of cool, but you can't do that. It's like, no. You want to try that? Go for it and see if it works or not. Because the shield guys, I always forget their names, but like when you grapple them, Jackals. They actually block. Jackals, yes. When you grapple them, they actually block with the shield, but that also just means that their feet are, because they pull it up, which means it's easier to shoot their feet or something, instead of trying to aim between that little part of the shield that you can shoot through the little caves at the either end of them.
Yeah, where the gun goes through.
Yeah. And it's like, again, you can grapple towards them and they will pull up the shield, but if you kind of pull towards them, you can hit them because they tend to drop the shields to shoot at you.
Well, and you got, once you upgrade your grapple hook, you could, like, there's almost no cooldown on it, so you could, like, grapple their shield, they'll move the shield, and just grapple them again. So, once I got used to using the grapple shot and upgraded it, I use it a lot. To the point where I almost never fire a weapon because I'm just grappling to everybody and meleeing them.
Like, fucking Spider-Man. Amazing.
Yes, it's fucking it just feels so good. Like,
I didn't realize, Earl, you said you can grapple and shoot them as you're flying in on them.
I forget if you can, but I think you get, like, by the time you get close to them, you can kind of aim on them.
Okay,
but yeah,
like, that would be amazing. Like, I just, like, this is so much fun, and I just enjoy the ride into them. I'd probably, like, try and aim at them and shoot them.
Yeah, it is a ton of fun because, again, I feel It's up there. I think we talked about this ages ago, like 2 or 3 years ago with Spider-Man, where it's just a sense of movement that, like, you feel that sense of speed that it brings. And I feel like that's even without the enemies. I feel like that's when when you're trying to descend a tower or something with a grapple hook, there's a sense of speed as you're being pulled forward and you kind of leap over something. Sometimes it works against you because, like, some of these paths are super narrow and you go so far over it that I try to jump up and it's like, you don't want to jump because he jumps up and he'll jump up and over to the other side and fall off of it if it's too narrow a path. It's kind of like the original Mario Brothers, where, like, Mario momentum sometimes, if you go too fast, will just, like, you'd stop and he would just continue going
because you didn't slide stop a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so far I've really just been enjoying the grapple and yeah. And again, I think my fear with this, and it might happen later on, was that you would, and it's an open world horror game, and, like, the, you know, Halo's always kind of been, well, I forget the motto, but it's like every 7 minutes, like, big set piece or something like that. And it wasn't even the set pieces I would miss. It was just like, oh, like, you know, like, you have these weapons that you enjoy. You'd either run out of ammo or it would not be the ideal weapon for the situation you're in. But they're pretty generous or smart enough to know, like, okay, we're going to put a weapon cache here, or we're going to put an ammo refill there, or the enemies drop enough weapons that you always have something to go to. Because my fear was, like, I'm running around the battlefield trying to find something to shoot with.
Yeah, the ammo supply refill stations are, they're kind of like a game changer, because, like, I like the battle rifle and assault rifle, and I rarely have to switch out of them if I don't want to.
I carry those two a lot, but I'll mix it up. You know,
yeah, I mean, I'll pick up, like, a sniper rifle or a rocket launcher by, you know, like, going in against something else. But it's like, I like to have those two generally on me. So it's like a further outranged weapon and then something that, you know, rapid fire up close and I can punch people.
So has anyone, I missed what you said, Chris, like, has anyone played a significant amount of the campaign, or am I the only one?
You're the furthest, yeah. I just unlocked the second area. Well, not even just unlocked, like, I'm, like, probably halfway done cleaning up all the stuff, but I'm not doing the story mission yet. Like, I'm just going and hitting up the, you know, the bases and rescuing the Marines. So I think you're, like what, a bunch of campaign missions in now.
Yeah, I'd say I don't know. It's hard to say, but I think I'm far enough into the campaign to, like, have an opinion about it. You know, it's really good, one, but, you know, not to just blow the game entirely. There are things, you know, they're not perfect. I think, you know, I think that, like, this is, like, an awesome blue.
Oh, Jeff died. I think it's awesome blue. I like awesome blue things.
Jeff, he's there.
Oh.
Oh no. Jeff is fading in and out.
You know, awesome blue, I think the Patriots, that's what I really think.
I mean, are they the number one seed in the AFC right now?
They are.
Hate you.
We're hoping that the Chargers pull out the game tonight, so, you know.
Wait, are you a Patriots fan or a Brady fan?
I'm a Patriots fan.
Mm.
I rooted for the Patriots before Brady played for them.
You don't know that.
I do. I remember them playing Green Bay in the Super Bowl.
I don't know.
But you do that's like a... Brady.
I do. I mean, he was my quarterback for like 20 years.
He still is your quarterback in your heart.
No. Mac Jones is now the quarterback in my heart.
Wow. Wow, you just left him and leave him.
No, Tom Brady left.
He didn't leave. You kicked him out.
We didn't kick him out. He kicked himself out.
And you folks are like, he's too old for us. And then he's like, I'm going to win a Super Bowl, bitches.
I'm happy for him. He won a Super Bowl.
Are you happy for him? Would you have been happier for...
I would have been happier if the Patriots actually won the Super Bowl, yes.
Ugh, nobody would be happy when the Patriots win the Super Bowl.
I've been happy like 6 times when the Patriots.
Nobody would be happy.
So happy.
Oh. Well, I'm glad that we've gotten that situated.
Yes, he is good.
We were waiting for you to come back.
I'm here. I think. Every time I go to speak, it's just like, no, never mind.
you seem fine. I mean,
that's kind of what my brain does when you speak too. It's like, no.
I think Microsoft is listening. It heard that I was going to start talking shit a little bit about the game, and it said, "Fuck me."
So what was your like criticism there?
Well, in a broad sense, I think that this is a great blueprint for a new kind of Halo that will eventually, if they do a sequel like this, be a much bigger, fuller game. Like, you know, you compare it to Breath of the Wild, it's nowhere near as dense in terms of like interesting things in the world compared to Breath of the Wild. It's kind of the same four or five things all over the map. And the map itself is all one environment. Like, there's no variety at all.
That is, like, the one thing that, like, I'm a little bit disappointed in is that you always got these cool environments in different Halo games, right? Like,
yeah.
Even in Reach, where it was, like, you know, you start out in, like, the kind of the farmlands, but you're going through cities, you're going through underground caverns, you're in, like, forested areas in certain points. Like, and same with the original Halo, like, where you kind of start out on this situation like this, but then you're in Covenant ships, you're in Forerunner architecture, you're in the snow, you're in the forest. Like, this is just the kind of like the forested area, so, which is really cool.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, it feels, I don't know, it doesn't feel full and complete. Like, you know, the story missions themselves are kind of like varied and interesting. You have different bosses with different ways to beat them. Like, that stuff's all really good. But all the side content is kind of the same copy and pasted stuff all over the map. So that's one thing. Another, like, I think shortcoming of it is that, you know, you get these Spartan cores, you know, like these, you know, skill points to upgrade, you know, your character. And it's like, outside of the shield and the grapple shot, the other things that you get that you can upgrade are nowhere near as fun or interesting, and I'm never going to use them. So it's like, you know, I have like really no need to actually upgrade all these other things except to get achievements or whatever. Like, I'm never ever going to be using the drop shield instead of the grapple shot. It's not going to be happening. So
I do like the one that pings. Like, where you
I never used that. I used it the moment I got it, and they told you to use it against the enemy, and that's it. That's the only time I've ever fucking used it.
I was gonna say though, it's really funny because I remember it was last week, I think, where you were so excited that it had like an RPG system to it.
Yeah,
and now you're like, yeah. I mean, I guess it makes sense. There's not a ton of stuff to actually upgrade, but it is nice that it's there.
Well, I think it's another thing you could improve in a sequel with, like. You know, I was thinking, like...
Now, would you prefer an RPG system or just, like, a straight-up, like, you just find upgrades on the map?
I like it the way it is. I just think that the other things... They should come up with things that are, like, more, like, you would actually possibly consider using besides the grapple shot. And, like, one example I thought of, like, if it was in the game, I would probably use it here and there. Like, you know, in Borderlands, the one character that you could, like, drop down a turret that, like, will auto-shoot.
That would be cool, yeah.
Something like that. Because, here, one of the things you could upgrade besides the grapple shot in this is a dash. Why on earth do I need a dash when the grapple shot does the same thing? Like...
I was going to say, because, it's probably 3. No, it's 6, I think. That introduces the, crap, what is that thing? The personal shield.
Yep.
And I think
the hard light shield.
Yes, the one
A personal shield that covers you like an overshield.
Yes.
Yeah, right. You know, which I guess you do have a shield in this that you upgrade, but it's just like your standard shield.
Yeah, I don't even mean that, because I mean there was like you could get stickied and like you use this and it would knock off the sticky grenade or something like that.
Yeah, you could
you know, freeze yourself, and like a ghost could literally run into you, and you would destroy the ghost.
You would kill people by doing that. Yeah.
Yes. Awesome. Yes. It was also because I think, I mean, I've not paid enough for the campaign because that was always one of the things. That there are very few good ways to deal with a vehicle. You can plasma pistol them to slow them down and you do damage. But like outside of like heavy weapons and that personal shield, there aren't a ton of great ways to deal with
Let me tell you about the grapple shot.
The grapple, yeah. The grapple will put you into that vehicle.
You just jack the vehicle from across the fucking map.
Fair enough, but then didn't somebody just grapple it back from you?
They don't have the fucking grapple.
There's only one on the field at a time, right?
Well, in multiplayer. Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about campaign.
One at a time. I thought, isn't it on a cooldown?
What, the grapple? Yeah, it is on a cooldown. But as Jeff said, you can upgrade it so that it you know,
it's like a 2-second cooldown. It's like non-existent. Like I'd almost never think of it.
Like I actually saw somebody using it kind of like Spider-Man's webs, where they would shoot it into a tree, use the momentum to swing, and by the time it recharged, they could shoot it into another tree and swing again.
I went along a whole cliffside doing it. I was actually going to post a video of that and say I'm Spider-Man, but I just I don't know.
But they can jack it from you if they get close enough, like I have had.
Yeah, they can
kick me out of it. Yeah,
you know, but basically I will grapple shot a vehicle, turn it around and kill the person I just took it from, and then kill everyone else. It's really fun and cool.
Use that boost on the ghost and just run everybody over.
So, yeah, don't get me wrong. I love this campaign. I think it's great. I think this is like game of the year material. But I do think there's room for an improvement, and it really does feel like the next Halo, they could really blow out this idea and make it even better.
I wonder if we're just that they've talked about, like, oh, it's the next 10 years. I'm not sure I believe that. But I do wonder if we'll get something about the same size as this campaign, but like in a different biome, to kind of tack on here. I haven't finished the campaign, so I don't know how the story ends. Like maybe the ring blows up. There's no way to do that, but
I don't know. I think there's an opportunity to do a straight real sequel to this that's much bigger. I think like they've laid a foundation here, and that you could really make something that competes with something like Breath of the Wild. I think this is just, it's a little sparse compared to something like Breath of the Wild, but it's really cool what they've set up.
Somebody I follow on Twitter, they beat it, I think, yesterday or the day before, and like part of their little write-up on it was they made like an open world Halo and then they made like a regular Halo and just mashed them together.
Well, I do like that there are like, you know, levels and missions within that open world. Yeah. I think that's a great idea. I think that Breath of the Wild could have done that better with having bigger, more traditional dungeons, but I have no problem with that. I think the open world element of it, you know, needs a little work, but it's a great start.
I am curious now, and I don't know if any of you have an answer right off the top of your head. What is your favorite open world?
Easily Breath of the Wild. Like,
interesting.
I'm trying to think what else I would even come close with that.
I mean, The Witcher 3 had an awesome open world.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nothing comes 3? Close to...
Fallout 3 was good. New Vegas was good.
Yeah, New Vegas is neat, but yeah.
Like Skyrim. Red Dead, the original, well, not the original, but the 360 one, was it Red Dead Redemption? The first one? The first Red Dead Redemption?
Yeah.
I like that open world quite a bit.
That was a good one.
I don't like Red Dead Redemption 2, but...
Gosh. Just curious. Yeah.
I mean, some of the Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Odyssey. Was that the last one?
Odyssey.
Valhalla is the newest one.
Yeah,
I think I like Odyssey.
I like Odyssey. Origins was good. I think I liked all of the Assassin's Creed open worlds.
Valhalla was awesome.
I'm not sure I have a favorite, but I tend to get like lost in them. So it's like I want to mainline the campaign, but so it's either I like end up doing what I'm doing in Halo, where it's like not paying any attention to the main campaign and just like getting the check mark on all the dots, which is what Ubisoft's made it impossible now. You can't do it. There's so many dots. I just want to mainline the campaign, which is what I end up doing in some of the Ubisoft games, because there's so many dots. You just have to avoid them. What's your favorite, Daryl?
I was trying to think. I think from just a standpoint of what it is and the gameplay, I've always been a huge fan of Xenoblade. I think partially because their open world makes sense in the game in terms of being a giant being that you're on, and like each part being different because it's like the knees or the feet or the elbows or the head of a creature. So you're going up and down a stratosphere. And again, I do love Xenoblade, so.
Nice. What were you going to say, Jeff?
I guess Jeff is gone again.
Goodbye, Jeff. Didn't get to say anything.
Microsoft.
Sit on, Gay Bowser. Just as a quick aside. Today, so I've done my beer advent calendar, and I got a beer called Money, which is an Indian IPA brewed in Brooklyn. And this is actually really delicious. 7.3, really, if you can. I think I'll post it on Twitter. But yeah, it's not, because a lot of IPAs nowadays are just so hoppy, they just drown on any flavor that they might have. And I think this one doesn't do it. It's actually really kind of refreshing to have an IPA that I'm like, oh, this is not just an IPA. Like, I can taste something different. Don't know what I taste, but I can taste something different. So, yeah.
I'm not sure I agree with what you say, Earl, but go for it.
Are you not an IPA person?
No, I think that the big center of IPAs right now is in the hazies and not the hoppy. So like you're getting a lot of like juicier flavors now. Whereas like if you go back a couple years, like hops was the thing. Like how hoppy can you make this thing and how bitter? I think that was a bad choice. And I think they've kind of recovered from that.
Yeah. I do like hoppy. I do like not bitter sours. We need a movement of sours. I think the problem with sours is that people can't drink a ton of them back to back.
Yeah, it's hard. It's rough on your stomach. Like you just
screw up. And you can't mix it too much, because I can mix other stuff. I mean, I'm not saying you should, but I feel like sours are harder to mix. Like you can't go from a sour to like a stout. It's like again, you don't, it's like you know the same way you don't drink geriatric orange juice.
Yeah. You just wouldn't taste it. Like, it wouldn't taste right.
Yeah.
They also add vanilla to a lot of sours now. I'm not really sure why.
Is it the same thing as, like, when everything, like, added lactate?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know why. It's like, here's your beer. We're going to add some lactose because we hate certain parts of our fan base. I'm not lactose intolerant, but I do have friends who are, and it's always like, oh, this sounds good. Oh, they added lactate.
I think the vanilla, when they add it, especially like I see it a lot in the berry ones I get. I think it's to balance out the tartness.
Yeah.
Makes it a little more sweet as opposed to, you know, like raspberries can be very, like, very tart. But you can balance that out. You can make it a little more smooth.
Yeah, I get it in stouts because a lot of times stout. I'm not gonna say a lot of times, but I think there are stouts that are very dairy oriented. Like you know, there's some that want to try taste like pies or s'mores or coffee. So like that element makes sense. Like you know, you'd have vanilla in your coffee, you'd have vanilla in when you're baking. So, but yeah, when they're like, oh, we're gonna add it to your sour that's fruity, it's like it's a weird addition. But I guess if you're saying it's kind of cut through the bitterness, I guess that makes sense.
That's the only thing I can think of, like, because like if you were to just drink like straight raspberry juice, like it would be very like almost like very puckerish, like I could see it making it a little bit sweeter with the vanilla. And I see it in a lot of the things, like in a lot of berry sours and stuff. I see it in almost all of them. That's the only thing I could think of.
Okay.
Unless people really like vanilla.
I'm sure they do.
Go ahead, Earl.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I'm sure people like Vanilla. I mean, Vanilla is not bad. But yes.
Fine. It's perfectly fine. I am drinking an Imperial Chocolate Peanut Butter Porter.
Oh, that sounds good.
Ooh.
How is it?
It's Imperial. What is it? What's the beer called?
I mean, that's what it's called. The brewery. It's Lupulin Brewing. They are out of Big Lake, Minnesota. And that's what it's called. Imperial Chocolate Peanut Butter Porter. Tastes good. I don't know if I so much get the chocolate portion of it. It does have like that peanut butter kind of aftertaste that you get with some of those.
Mm.
Doesn't like there's pictures of, I mean, it's a nice, actually very nicely drawn, can, but it has like peanut butter cups on it. I'm not necessarily getting that feel from it, but it's good.
I'm drinking a Saison.
Ah.
Raison d'Etre. It's from the, remember when you were down in DC, the brewery we went to?
Yes. Well, oh,
it's from that brewery.
As a
right proper.
Wait, never mind. Yes, the other one was a bar.
Yes, the other one was a bar, but the first place we went to was
right proper brewery. Yes.
It's quite tasty.
Did Jeff return?
Yeah.
Jeff loves Saisons.
Microsoft was cutting you off, so.
They're against the man.
And Jeff had a new beer. He went to it wasn't new. You went to that new restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have, I think they said they have like four other locations. But the other locations have different names, and the menus are slightly different. I think the beers might be the same. Devil's Paint Box IPA.
What the fuck that means.
But it was so funny, because I'm like, you guys have an IPA, right? And she's like, yeah, we have two. Do you want a West Coast IPA or an East Coast? And I was like, I don't know.
Can you honest brewing, Jeff?
Huh?
Tangled Roots Brewing?
Yeah.
I honestly still don't know the difference, because it's the New England IPA?
Well, she described it to me, and I was like, I think I want the West Coast, and then when I looked at the menu, I'm like, yeah, I want the West Coast. Like, the other one is like a hazy, and the West Coast is, it's hoppy, but with like grapefruit, then, which is exactly like the one I drink all the time, and it tasted pretty similar to the one I drink all the time. It was very good.
Is this their beer?
Jeff is part of the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Egg and Kernel, the restaurant?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. We can't go to them because they're all in Illinois. But
yeah, they're all like kind of, within an hour, probably. But nice. I thought that was pretty good. Pretty good place. They're just open, so I'm talking it up to that, but the service was, like, really fucking weird. Like, the bartender came up and greeted us two times without, like, asking us if we want something to drink or a menu. Like, she just like, hi, how you doing? And then just walked away. Then she came by again to tell us that she'd be right with us, and she went and, like, her and everybody else was, like, obsessed with, like, fussing over, like, little things, like, there was three people just wiping down glasses, like cleaning glasses, even though the bar had behind it hundreds of clean glasses. I'm like, why? There's a bunch of people sitting here with like empty drinks and shit, and you guys are like obsessively cleaning glasses. She was doing like, she was like, you know, like those, like, you know where you would set the beer when you're done with it? Like at the, you know, you reach over the bar, and it's like that little ledge. There's like little rubber mats they put on them. She was like moving the rubber mats around, and I'm like, can I please, like, see a menu? Like, what are you doing? And so, like, she never came back to us. And finally, the manager came over, and she's like, oh, let's get you guys some menus. And she, like, reached down. And the menus were, like, I could have literally reached over the bar. They're, like, right in front of us the whole time. So either time, like, that the bartender came over to, like, say hi to us, she could have just handed us those menus because they were literally right there. Weird shit like that. We're just like, dude, what are you doing? Like, again, these are probably all like people that are pretty brand new I mean, obviously, this place just opened. So.
Yeah, but it's probably
some of them seem like very new to the restaurant industry in general.
It would probably be also they probably thought somebody else had given you a menu or something.
Oh, just total confusion. Yeah,
and then expect like when you get seated, you get a menu automatically, right?
Yeah. Just like, especially when they were like, she didn't have to like walk anywhere to get them. They're like, if I would have known they were there, I would have reached over and just grabbed them myself because I was just like, I don't know. Just weird shit like that. And then like after a while, I was like, I wonder if they ever put our fucking order in. Cause like it had been like 40 minutes since we ordered food and it wasn't super busy. And I'm just like, And then like, I didn't say anything, but then the manager came back again and she's like, so guys, the printer in the back stopped working. So the kitchen was not getting any orders. So we're getting your orders started now. Just, I ordered fish and chips and she ordered like a chicken sandwich. So it was like over an hour after we ordered our food before we got it. You know, I don't know. Like I'm not going to hold any of this against them unless like I go a couple weeks from now and it's still like that. I'm gonna be like, guys.
But did they comp you anything? Because I feel
yeah,
like...
they did. Right. They comped the appetizer because of that. I didn't ask them to, but they did. And then they accidentally forgot to charge my last beer and I wasn't going to tell them. So, end up saving a little bit.
Makes me so happy to hear you say that you got fish and chips, Jeff.
Yeah.
Like a decade ago, you would have like thrown something at us if we suggested you get fish.
And it's so funny because, like, yeah, like I was that was the first thing I wanted to try out of their entrees. It was okay. Their appetizer was fucking awesome, though. This pimento cheese, Jesus Christ, is so good. And it came with, like, the bread. It's just, oh, my God. I'll be going back for that shit. And the beer, you know, the beer is good. But I didn't think the fish and chips were anything, like, amazing. And I don't know. Seems more like a appetizer and beer place. But I hope they do good because I liked it, so.
Hey, sometimes that's all you need is just a place to go get a drink after work and something to munch on.
And you could easily just, like, go do that there and then go, like, two doors over and get, like, fucking pizza for $20 and a pitcher of beer with the pizza for $20.
Now, I have to ask, did you meet any former sex slaves here?
I mean, your girlfriend was with you this time, so you had a monitor.
Just no comment on any of this. I don't know.
Nope.
Just nope. Like, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't understand.
All right, well, hope that.
How did we get out of, like, food and beer?
You were gone, Halo, disappeared, so we just started talking about beer, because why not?
And Earl wanted to update us on his
advent calendar.
Yeah. That he's been doing.
Because I'm on my second one. I much prefer the second one. The second one is, so far, I think I've had 4 beers from it, and it's all been New York-based breweries, so that's kind of nifty.
Nice. All right. Well, do you guys play anything else this week? I know that Jeff already said he mostly just played Halo. Earl, you've been pretty busy this week.
You guys should really dig into that Halo campaign for real.
I mean, I would love to play more of it.
After this weekend, I have some stuff going on, but I'm basically just going to hold up and do my pace because Omicron or whatever it's called seems to be on the rise. So I'm like, yeah, I'm good with staying home. And
it's like infecting people who are vaccinated, which is frustrating.
The positive side seems, no pun intended, seems to be that it seems like people aren't getting sick, but
it sounds like it's pretty infectious, but it's kind of also weak sauce, so it's like, I don't know.
Yes, but if you do get it, the problem is always that, like, if you do get it, even if it's weak sauce, there are people who are still getting sick from it. So yeah, it's just like one of those things. So yes, I've been tested twice this week because I had to get tested to go to my work event tonight. And then I was like, yeah, I got a rapid test. Let me just do a PCR. I forget how weird that nose tingle thing is.
Unpleasant.
I don't know if it's unpleasant. It's just weird because you're not used to like that sensation.
It's almost like warning you that something should not be in that area. Like, I don't know. I don't like it.
Were they the normal test or were they the rapid test?
One was rapid and one's a PCR. Because I knew because
the PCR is the brain one.
They're both brain.
The brain one.
They're both brain ones.
Hmm.
Because I rapid, really ever did it in the hospital and it was pretty brain.
Yeah, the rapid one asks you to the rapid one asks you to spin around like 5 times and then the same thing with the PCR, but somebody else does it for you, I guess. Yeah. It was funny too, because like again, it's not. I mean, it makes sense because people are feeling that way, but so like I went to because I was looking for like my boss had bought in rapids for us, but I'm like, oh, I want to see if I can get it at your organization so I don't screw it up. But I went to like CityMD and stuff like that, and partially because like I don't think it's domestic, but if you are traveling internationally, you need to get tested before you board a flight. So, like, all of the rapid sites were just so jam-packed yesterday and today with people trying to get tested before they fly out that it very much feels like early 2022 again. So, yeah. It's exciting to be right back to square one because people don't want to get vaccinated. And I'm just at the point where I'm like, I don't know what to do anymore because I'm vaccinated, I'm boosted, I'm masked up, there's nothing for me to do, but I'm just like, I need something because I'm like, I don't, like, my that doesn't change day to day anymore, but we're not going anywhere.
That's why I just said, fuck it, I don't care anymore. Like, that's exactly it. Nothing's going to ever actually. Like, I'm not worried about myself. I haven't even. I it's not like I want to do it. I just keep forgetting to get the booster. I should do it my next day off or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good reason to take the weekend off.
That's how little I fucking think about it though anymore. Like, I just literally do not care.
My my plan is to get the booster early next year when I have. I want to take like a day off, like so, just like go get it on a Thursday night, take off Friday. Take off the whole weekend.
I didn't don't do expect anything it. To me. It did nothing.
Yeah, I don't expect it to do anything. Neither of my first two shots gave me anything but a sore arm. So,
but to Chris's point, just because it's there's safe, like, so, anything,
yeah. I know there were people at my work that fucking definitely did that shit. Like, oh, I was really feeling bad. Yeah, okay, fucking liar.
Yep.
You I motherfucker mean, that calls in sick every fucking like 3 weeks. Sure, you fucking felt something.
But there's enough people that have at least said they've gotten sick. You could totally peel off of that one. And
I'm sure that there's people that do. Like, you know, I'm not like saying, oh, it's like a fake thing. It's just it's just interesting the people that did. You know,
yeah. It's like you guys are questionable to begin with.
Yeah.
But you know what? You can't question it because it happens to people. I'm like,
exactly.
I've not been like I'm not going to say it didn't do anything to me. Like, it's not like it put me on my ass, but I was like, you know, fatigued and tired. I'm like, yeah. But like, yeah, if it's a one, I take it early in the afternoon because I get like 4 hours off for it. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take those hours and just do nothing. And then the next day, if I don't feel up to it, like take a day off. Like
I think it sucks that you have to sit there for 15 minutes too after you get this.
I don't think you have to do it for the booster.
Yeah, it's like 10 minutes. You gotta sit there.
What would they do if you said it? What if you just said, see ya? And they're like, no, you're supposed to wait. Okay. Well, I'm not. Bye.
Like, all right. They can't stop you.
I know. It's like,
on the other hand, like you get like some weird side effect.
Right.
You're fucked.
You get outside of the store and you fucking have a seizure in the parking lot or something.
Yeah.
No, thank you. I would rather be where people can be like, at least call an ambulance for me.
I'll take
15 minutes and then like somebody can spot me if I'm having a seizure as opposed to me leaving like Walmart or CVS and them just stepping over my body as I'm vibrating in the parking lot.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yes. You I did it at CVS, and they do ask. But I'm like, can I just wander around the store? They're like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I just wander around the store. Hey, there's enough hours for me to kill 15 minutes finding looking at stuff. Right. But when I went to the hospital, it was like 15 minutes just sitting in a room. And it's like they give you like the I gave you like a COVID kit, which like masks, hand sanitizers, wipes. And it was like, okay, your 15 minutes is up, and you can go.
I just hope when I actually remember to do it that I get my choice of which one I want again, or not again, but I'd want to do
I got
the same
a different one.
The recommendation is you get the opposite one, right?
Yeah.
Really?
Because they all have different.
The same.
Well, both I mean, it's like, yes, Moderna and Pfizer, not J&J.
Right, right.
I actually said today not to get the Johnson. Like, okay.
Evidently, that one's not bad. It's just.
It's right. Not bad, but because, yes.
Why not get better? I just want the Moderna one because I know it's good, and I know that how my body reacted to the first two shots, so I'm just like, would rather just stick with it that way. I don't know.
I mean, then they do recommend, like, if you're going for it, if you're going to get it and you don't have a choice, get what they have anyway. So
yeah.
All they have is the one you already got, then get that one.
I ain't getting that J&J, though. Fuck that.
I got the J&J first. I'm still alive. You'll be fine. I mean, if you've already gotten one of the other vaccines, it's probably not good.
You're probably fine anyways. You probably, you know, that's why, like, again, I'm like, it's not like an urgent thing for me where I'm like, I need to get this, like, right. Like, when the vaccines first came out and I was not vaccinated at all yet, I was, like, doing anything I possibly could to get fucking vaccinated. And now I'm like, eh, I'll get to it when I remember.
Yeah. I don't know. At this point, I'm just accepting in my head that every 6 months or so, I'm gonna have to get a boost. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine with that. As long as it remains free.
I think it will, you know, eventually start to die off more, maybe. I don't know. I'm no fucking scientist, but people that won't get vaccinated, they're gonna reach herd immunity among themselves at some point, right? And once enough fucking people die and whatnot.
Well, like, the problem with herd immunity that way is, like, this is what we're at now with Omicron and even Delta, where it's like it mutates among those people and then it spreads. So herd immunity only works so far as you need enough people to, you know, get it all at once. It can't be one at a time, or like this group gets it and that group gets it. So it doesn't work on a global level. And I think that's the other thing that people were talking about is that, like, right now, like, you know, we talk about it in terms of, like, the U.S. and to a lesser degree, Europe. But as long as the rest of the world's uneven, it's just going to mutate in different countries and get spread. Even if it's not people coming from those countries, it's people going to visit or, you know, aid missions or whatever people want to do. So, like, that vaccine equality is also a very vital part of 2022. I'm also because I'm like, coming into 2021, I'm like, we got a vaccine. We were seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. I would not think at the end of 2021, we are pretty much having very similar conversations that we were having.
Yeah, I don't know. Yes. But also, like, dude, I am, like, so not fucking scared. Like, at the end of the day, all those things could, you know, they could keep mutating this and that. And it's like, okay, I'll keep getting a booster. And my life has basically returned to normal. And fucking, I don't know. If I can't do anything about the people that don't want to get vaccinated. You know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. Like, they don't want to get vaccinated. Fuck them. Like,
except we all exhibit the same space, and as we're seeing now, it does of this in the long term.
Yeah, I mean, there's the world has not returned 100% to normal, but I fucking go to a restaurant whenever I want. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I
think with the reality is that this is just
it's just how the new normal
is, right? Like, we're so divided over it that you're never gonna have enough to kind of squash it. So it's just like, take care of yourself, take care of your family, be considerate of other people too. Like, you know, I'll continue wearing my mask, you know, when I'm out.
I wear my mask, you know, when I go in the grocery store or whatever, but if I see someone else in the grocery store without one, I couldn't care fucking less. Like, I'm doing it as a courtesy. Like, I'm not worried
them.
About
like, the, ultimately, yeah. it's to them. Like, it's like...
It's for them.
I had somebody at my work, like, you know, she is very clearly, she's, like, she has mentioned she has not gotten vaccinated. She's going to have to, or she'll lose her job, unless she can find some sort of exemption, but... She, you know, we went up to her desk to ask her a question. And I had my mask on, and she like looking panically around her desk. I'm like, "Don't worry about it. Like, this is for your benefit anyway."
This is like maybe I don't know 6 months ago. It was like in the summertime. I'm walking into the grocery store. I'm putting my mask on, and this fucking hillbilly motherfucker is like, "Aren't you sick of fucking wearing that fucking thing?" I'm like, "Yeah, dude, I am." You know, like. It's because of fucking you, dumbass.
The irony is, I'm not sick of wearing it. I don't mind wearing a mask. Like, that does not bother me at all.
It doesn't bother me, but I'd rather not. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but I'd rather fucking everyone got vaccinated and I don't have to think about this anymore. I mean, which is basically how I am already, but it's
right,
like...
We've gotten to a point where we don't think about it anymore. Just put the mask on.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, for me, it's... I think... And I've said this before. It's a combination of things, though. It's also the same thing where like why not just wear it? You know, like sickness is overall down, because like you know people aren't getting the flu or common cold as much because people are masking up and it prevents that from spreading. It's the same way. Like I've said as much, not to the coworker, but there's certain coworkers who would always come in when they were sick. Because they wanted to be a, they wanted to be a team player. They wanted to be a hero.
Yeah, like whatever.
Like the person. Man,
getting the whole office.
This like even just going in, you know, partially is probably preventing a ton of people from getting sick because you're not in the office with 150, 200 people at a time. You're not sitting next to them. That person that's the hero isn't sniffling all over everything in the entire office. So I don't feel bad. Like, I used to go to work and I would feel shitty. I felt shitty all the time. And now, like, I don't feel that way even when I go in because there's nobody there and it's the air is clean. I don't feel like a garbage. Like, I don't feel like I'm constantly sick. It's been nice. Well, thank everybody for joining our beer and COVID
state of the world update.
Tony, did you play anything else this week?
Nope, just Halo.
I guess real briefly, Jeff and I were talking about this before we started. I finished Dead Rising 4. That's a game.
Hey, that series has its charms. And there are things I liked. Look, I would take Dead Rising 4 over 3. I know you liked 3. I thought it was a gray, real drab. Like, I like stripped the things that I think are neat about.
I do like the mall location. I think that is fun. Yeah. And like the and
Christmas setting.
Yeah, this Christmas setting is nice. I think like they have like this weird half open world, though. It doesn't necessarily work. I do wish there was a way that, like, when you get some of these weapons, that you could make it so that you could repair them or something, as opposed to you can swing them like 10 times and it's like, go pick up another crowbar or something and combine it.
I mean, that fucking series is way worse than Breath of the Wild with that shit.
Oh, yeah, it's atrocious. Like,
it does, you know, there's always something new to get and. A lot of different things, and so it keeps you like playing around. But my problem is like I still remember playing the first Dead Rising, and like I got the Xbox 360 to play that game, and being just absolutely blown away. But even like playing that one, like the first time when it first came out, as much as I loved it and everything, like I thought the boss fights were terrible, and like. They've done nothing, as far as I can remember, to fix that. Like
they're still awful. Sponges or damaged sponges. They're not fun to fight.
It's just terrible. Like, so yeah, I didn't quite remember 4 outside of like being happy for the Christmas setting in the mall. But you're saying,
you get in the cars and there's Christmas music playing.
Yeah. But like, it's neat. I think that, you know, that series needs a total, like, rethink of what it, because it could be really awesome still, but it's just, like, turned into a pretty mediocre thing overall, I think.
I wonder if that series is dead now, just, like, I mean, they, spoilers for a game that's 5 years old, but Frank is dead at the end of...
See, I didn't remember.
Like, he sacrifices himself for, kind of, and dies in the very last scene, and, like, the kind of, like, epilogue is done by your student that's been your nemesis the entire time. She does the... Where Frank had been talking over all the cases, she does the final case talk. Because Frank died. He fell off the helicopter or whatever. I don't know. It's, I mean, not that Frank West is all, like, has, what, 2 stars somebody different and 3 stars somebody different as well. 4 was, like, bringing Frank West back, because that seemed to be one of the complaints people had, is he wasn't around.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, so is Microsoft around to money hat more sequels? It seems like Capcom's not eager to make them without Microsoft giving them money.
Yeah, I mean, Microsoft, because the first one was a 360 exclusive, right? And then 3 was an Xbox One exclusive. I do think those, 2 and 4 showed up on the PlayStation, though.
Because 1 was ported to the Switch as well. Not the Switch, while the Wii, with the Chop Till You Die edition. But right, I think but I think most of them started off as Microsoft exclusives. At least 1 and 4, I think, I knew for sure did. Maybe 3 you say was an exclusive, so yeah.
Yeah, so three definitely was, yeah.
But really, that's all you, what, 2? That may not have been a Microsoft exclusive? Because, yeah, 4 was a... It wasn't a launch title, but it was exclusive.
Yeah. No, I don't remember. I remember I got it when it came out and never played it, and then... Then, like, feeling, hey, it's, you know, it's Christmas time. Let's give this a go. No, it came out on Windows, Xbox One, and PS4. I guess it was a year exclusive, Earl. Yeah. Came out in 2017 on PlayStation 4. So a year after it came out on Xbox One. So yeah. So the three of the 4 exclusives for at least a year. I don't know. I think you're right, Jeff. Like, they need to rethink it, or I think maybe just
wrap
it's okay.
It.
You can let it die.
It's okay to let some things die. But it, you know, the idea of an open world. I don't know. I like the idea of it. It's just
is it open world?
Kind of. A little sandbox for you to play around in.
Yeah, there are open world sections of 3 is completely open world. 4 has these, like, they're segmented, so you play what are considered cases, and then it opens up to different parts of the area, and you have different access until you move on in the story. I think 1, though, was kind of open world, too, right, Jeff? It just happened to be in the mall.
Yeah, and I'm like, how you would normally think of an open world, but it was like this big... mall to explore. Like, I like the idea.
Open mall, guys, not open world.
Well, see, I guess that was my thing. Is that open world anymore? I think it's a good term for it, because sandbox.
Yeah.
Nintendo originally Mario 64. It's like the world. It's from stuff, and it's not like go anywhere, do anything. It's more like you have an opportunity to be creative in this world. We're not going to limit you, but, you know, there are places, it's a very defined area where, like, I can think of open world, I think of GTA, where it's like, yeah, you know, go here, find this t-shirt and all this other stuff, or t-shirts and the
sandbox is more like Hitman.
Yes, where it's a very defined space, but you're kind of free to do whatever. Like, I think of 1 as kind of like, what would a child do if given Legos, and can you get away with it? That's a sandbox.
Okay. So I think that's more what I'm thinking of, or like meant to say, or whatever. How about we do Dead Rising in a fucking skyscraper, a la Die Hard, and fucking make the combat good, and then bosses not suck, and then I'd be down.
I'll be honest with you. I'm surprised more games haven't tried a Die Hard thing, which is kind of
how about a Die Hard? Make an actual Die Hard that's like it's you going around the what is it called the Nakatomi
Plaza.
Yeah, that'd be fucking so cool.
Or the DC Airport.
Yeah, we don't.
I mean, I know they've made Die Hard games, but they're almost all what I heard.
If they made one, it would be an open world game.
Die Hard 3. Yeah.
Yeah, where you'd be moving around the city trying to stop the terrorists.
I love the idea of really being able to explore this like defined space though, like going through the vents, the elevator shafts, all that shit. Like it'd be fucking so neat.
You want a Batman game in but you play as Bruce Willis.
Yeah. That like that first Batman.
And not shitty Bruce Willis, like prime Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
I mean, he might have always been shitty.
But he cared. Like, what movie did we watch recently? Cosmic Sin?
I thought he was totally fine in Glass. I liked him in Glass, and that was, 2 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, there are probably movies that he gives a shit about.
Eyes a little more,
And then there are the other 17 movies he does every year.
I have not seen any of those. The Deets direct videos, like... They're almost like all like almost unwatchable. Like,
yeah, it's you can tell he really does not care. He shows up, he reads what he has to read, and he's like, "Yeah, that's good, right?" They're like, "Yeah, Bruce, you got it."
That's the thing I wonder about is like you see like Nick Cage does shit like that too, right? Where he's in everything.
He always shows up though,
but he's always giving a performance like. Bruce Willis is like, I'm here. You got my bald head, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm super interested in his new movie, because it's all about him being Bruce Willis. I mean, not Bruce Willis. Well, Nick Cage.
What movie? Yeah.
What is it? The heavy burden of... I forget what it's called exactly.
Yeah.
Greatness or exceptionalism or something like that.
Something like that. But yes, it's Nick Cage playing a heightened version of Nick Cage. I'm like, okay, somebody's in on the joke.
But yeah, I beat Dead Rising 4, and then I went back to sweep up some achievements, and there's a mini golf game in there that they've added, where they put zombies on the course. They don't hurt you, but like they are obstacles on the course. And
Do they walk around?
Yeah, they walk around, and like the ball when the ball hits them, like you kill them. It's still like, here it's like, this is a par 3, try and get it in 3. It's really weird, like the fact that they went through and put that in, but it is an ongoing joke in the plot of the game, where, Frank, he gets tricked into this whole thing by his student, by her telling him that they're going mini golfing, and does he want to go with them? And so he joins them, and she drives them to Willamette, which is how he gets involved in this. It's an ongoing joke where he just says like, all I wanted to do was fucking mini golf. Here I am again in this stupid mall. So they added that in. It's interesting. Weird that they would add that, but. There's achievements associated with that as well. So I think that's it for what we've been playing. There was a couple pieces of news. The big one, Ubisoft is making a Splinter Cell remake. They're remaking the original Splinter Cell. So, Jeff, you've been asking for Splinter Cell for a while. They're bringing it back.
Well, I don't know. I saw what you guys were saying about it, and it's like, it's probably right that one probably feels dated, but you don't know what they're going to do with it, so...
Well, I mean, that's why you remake it, but like remakes are such a crapshoot nowadays that it's like on paper, it's like, oh, this, you know, like you're going to modernize it in so many ways. And then there is GTA Definitive Edition, so it can go.
Yeah, so we don't know what it's going to be. And, you know, maybe, I don't know, there was something to the rigidity of that original. It's a very frustrating game, but I guess at the time it was just also very impressive. In a lot of ways, like just your moveset, the technical aspects of it, but that stuff is not going to be like, you know, now every game looks good. So it's just, I don't know. I know I did play that one, and I played it quite a bit on the GameCube.
That was never beat it. It was like 2002,
something. Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, I bet it was very rigid. They could definitely spruce it up a bit. I do wonder how that will turn out.
I really liked the last one that they did. Like, I thought that was really... I think I played that one on the Wii U.
Blacklist?
Yeah.
But as I said, it's almost a decade ago now, right?
It's pretty old. Yeah.
Been a while, yeah. Yeah, so... Good for Splinter Cell fans. I've never been a huge fan of it. But.
I don't know. I think it definitely got more mainstream appeal to it. Did you play like Blacklist?
Like Conviction. I don't think I ever played Blacklist.
I think they're similar. I don't know. I think that it was definitely more accessible than Splinter Cell 1. For sure.
Oh yeah, I mean Conviction was. I mean Conviction plays like
kind of like an action.
Yeah, I mean it plays like any of the Ubisoft Tom Clancy games now, right?
Yeah.
Like you have a gun, you can crouch behind cover. You get some like extra stuff where you can like mark people, and they did that like where you could like mark multiple people and then press a button, and he would do like cool kills. But yeah, so that's out there. Halo got an update. We talked a little bit about the playlist, but I guess there was an achievement update as well. So there were some achievements that were getting stuck. I didn't have that happen to me.
I just had delayed. Like it would be like, I did that 5 minutes ago. What? Why is this popping up now? Or, you know, that's all I ever had.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know, because I don't check the achievements, but I've been getting tons of achievements, so I'm assuming I've been fine.
Back for Blood also got an update.
Oh, did it? At some point, we should go back to that game, huh?
Yeah.
I updated it off of my hard drive. Or whatever.
They updated the difficulty a little bit. They increased on the mode we were playing on Recruit, which I guess it's not easy. That was for sure. They did up the damage resistance a little bit. It was 20%. They upped it to 25. They upped the when you continue, how much currency you keep, how much heal extra. Like, so if you continue, like what the heal, so you would start off with 25 health instead of, you know, a higher level. They're giving you 75 health now. And I don't know what trauma heal was. I'm not sure. I don't remember anything about trauma in the game.
Yeah, but. I know trauma, but I don't remember what it is. But I think it's like, characters, I think, would take damage. Because they were wasted over, but I never knew what it was.
So that was, it was at 20, and they upped that to 25. So, like a slight buff for Recruit. Veteran gets a little bit more, where they up the health a little bit for the base health. They up the player base damage, and the ammo capacity. They all up that a little bit on the veteran difficulty. I never felt we were running out of ammo on Recruit, so. And they added a single player campaign. So I guess whatever you were playing in like that single player version, like you'll now now get progression there, yeah.
And I guess the big thing for that would be, because like it was basically a very fancy training ground where you could play around with the different cards, but you wouldn't get anything for it.
Right. So I think like now you do get something for it. You'll get achievements, and maybe it'll actually carry over, and you can play with your friends that way. We should maybe try to finish that at some point. But
yeah, Yeah, it sounds like. I mean, it's still on my system, like Jeff. So.
I mean, Jeff, you played it for like 5 minutes total, right?
Played what?
Back for Blood. You played it for a very short period of time.
Maybe 5 minutes.
I'm never going to get to this. It's still there. Be able to play. Let's finish this thing. Finish the fight.
Yeah, it's because, I mean, we were almost halfway through because that.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't that we weren't having fun or anything. I think it was just like a combination of getting busy and really Harold dropping that through us.
Yeah. So. I'm more than happy to go back. Like, you know, we got a while to wait before the Halo campaign comes out. So before the co-op campaign. So
I'm curious how that does work, though.
Yeah. Me as well. Or is it just going to be four Master Chiefs running around?
They just wrecking everybody with the grapple hook.
It's going to create some amazing videos, though. Four people grappling onto a warthog and everybody jumping in all at once. Except for the one guy who was just late in flicking it, so now he has to walk.
You can say Jeff's name. He's right there.
Jeff's always late when it comes to flicking it.
That's what we're talking about.
We're not talking about anything, Jeff. We're not talking about anything.
Had a bunch of games hit Game Pass this week. The Gunk, which is the latest game by the people behind SteamWorld.
SteamWorld, yes.
That is out there on Game Pass. Lake, which is the 1985 mail carrier in a small town simulator. Firewatch hit a bunch of like kids games. Ben 10.
That's what I'm paying Ball out. Patrol. Just because it was like Ben 10 is on here. It's not a great game. It's very much made for kids so far.
Something called Race with Ryan, which I threatened my kids with. It looks like a kart racer. I threatened to have my kids play at family game night because my son's name is Ryan. So I thought it was funny. And my wife was like, absolutely not. That's the creepy kid on YouTube. That his parents have pimped him out and he reviews like they make him review like toys and shit. And now he has his own cartoon and it's like, maybe skip out on that. And then one that maybe you should try out, Jeff, Record of Lotus War, D-Lit in Wonder Labyrinth. Probably saw Sean and I talking about it in the chat. It's a, it's like a, you know, Castlevania, Symphony of Night type game, Metroid style.
Okay. That's not out yet though, right?
It's out now. Yeah. Oh. That's the one that Sean posted like in the middle of the night. It was like easy achievement. You just start the game and it gives you one.
Oh. I have so many games I want to play and really all I'm focusing on right now is Halo. Yeah. It's like, dude.
All I want for Christmas is you.
It's like, I don't know. What is I should probably play the Astral Chain I spent $30 on. Like, I don't know. There's a bunch of them like that where I'm just like, am I ever going to play this? Probably not. I mean, get through Halo, play through something else, and then fucking the new From Software game is going to be out, and all this shit I bought was for no reason.
Should turn my Switch on and play Cruisin', because, you know, I bought that.
It's fun. I was actually playing that. I was actually playing little bit of that last night. I went back.
I put
to
it in my Switch. It's ready to go.
It's one. You'll burn through it in a day. Like, not even. Like, you'll be just play it. You'll be done with it.
Maybe I'll like poke at it this weekend and just like do a race, play some Halo, do a race, play some Halo.
Yeah, you'll finish it in no time.
I need to find myself an easy 1,000 achievement point game, and then I can just focus on Halo. I am at 298,920.
Oh, God.
So if I hit 1,000, if I get a game at 1,000, I will be 80 points away from 300. And like the Halo achievements are all like 10 points in the campaign.
Right. So you get so many achievements, but none of them are worth anything.
Right.
It seems like it's now time for you to dig out Avatar.
I don't have. I've never played that one. Yeah. I should.
Might be hard to find now.
Wasn't it not just added to the final list of backwards compatible titles, so it might be available digitally?
Was it? Maybe. Avatar. Was it The Last Airbender?
Yeah.
Let's see. It's $20. There's five achievements.
Five achievements, but you can get them all in like 10
it's
minutes.
So dumb. It's like, I'm looking. Achieve a hit counter of 100, of 10. Achieve a hit counter of 20. Achieve a hit counter. So basically, just like you get a 50 combo and you have all the achievements. Yes.
And apparently, you can do it right from the beginning. So it's not.
Wow. I don't know if I want to spend $20 on
it's $20, but then you get to play what you want to play as opposed to having.
It's true. But there's this game called Townscaper that just hit Game Pass that you can evidently get all the achievements in like 20 minutes. So I might play that instead. Although I will keep Avatar in the back of my head just in case I ever need their quick 1,000 points. All right, next week, Hall of Fame. So everybody bring your Hall of Fame choice.
Mass Effect 2.
That is 15 years or younger, or older, I should say. Yes. So Mass Effect 2 will not count.
Mass Effect 2. I can't count. Mass Effect
games from 2006 or before. Danny. You gotta wait a little bit on Mass Effect 2.
Call of Duty 2. Got it.
I mean, that would probably fit.
It would.
That would fit, yeah. Because that would be 2003, 2004? Because 3's 2005.
Call of Duty 2 came out...
Or is it 2005?
It might be 2005. I think that was a 360 launch game.
Yeah. And then, there was Big Red 1. Back when Call of Duty was fun, and they had fun names, and not Mass Effect. I mean, Modern Warfare and... What was it? Infinite Warfare?
Infinite Warfare. Advanced Warfare. Lots of warfare.
So much warfare.
Both Infinite Warfare and Advanced Warfare were good games, though. Call of Duty 2 was a 360 launch game. 2005.
It's one of the first games I played for 360. I think that's worth Hall of Fame. Dumb.
Yes, technically Call of Duty 3 also available. I played that this year. I don't think that is...
neither is Call of Duty.
I don't think that's worthy.
I mean, we did mention Dead Rising. That's a possibility.
Yeah. That was 2005,
I already know
too.
What Chris's nominee is.
Do you?
If you're going for 2006, I do.
Yeah. That could be it. I hadn't actually thought of what it was, but that's not a bad choice. I like that one. Save that one. Earl's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't either. But what was I going to say? I guess another thing, just real quick before we wrap up, is since we mentioned Game Pass, and because they're really a backwards and weird company at times, Nintendo did announce today that like 5 games were added to the Nintendo Switch Online expansion pack. I know
N64
one is,
or
no, Genesis.
Okay.
I mean, I will take that. Yes. I mean, let's say what it is. The N64 probably has like, I don't know, maybe a dozen, 2 dozen games that people actually want to revisit.
And some of them are never going to show up there either.
Yes. Like, I've given up any hope on ever seeing any of the Russian games on the N64. GoldenEye, Perfect Dark has a better chance of showing up than GoldenEye does at this point.
Yes,
but like you do pay for the expansion pack, and it does come with the Genesis. I think when people were like, when it was like, because they also announced that next month we're getting what are we getting next month? We got Paper Mario last week, and then we're getting like one N64 game next month. But again, if it's like one N64 game and then like 5 or 6 games on the other services. It's not great, but it's better than one game a month. So yeah. This is Ultra Beast, Toe Jam and Earl, Dynamite Heady, Sword of Vermillion and Thunder Force 2. So it's a nice mix of games, and people say Ultra Beast. You could probably throw a penny outside the window and find a copy of Ultra Beast somewhere. It's everywhere. It's like almost on every Genesis collection. It was on the Genesis Mini. I'm sure most people are saying, like, "Wait, there was a Genesis Mini that came out too." It's on all these.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Because I mean, Nintendo made them and everybody copied it. Everybody said, "Oh yeah, we don't care about these. We just wanted the Nintendo games." But yeah, it's you know, online and all that other stuff. It's a fine edition, but it's whatever.
Good news, guys. Stealth is no longer blocking me on Twitter.
Oh, are you not blocking?
It's this guy, Stealth40K.
He is insane.
Yes.
No idea.
You probably interacted with him years ago, but
if you're not interacting with him, if you've ever crossed Nintendo Twitter circles, he is somehow the most avid and psychotic Nintendo fanboy. Yes.
I don't even remember what I said or did, but he had blocked me for years. Like, people would reply to him or retweet stuff, but I couldn't see it. And if I was logged in as me, this just came up. That's where I saw what the Genesis was, and I can now see his tweets again when I'm logged in. So, yay me, I guess.
Sorry,
you're saved.
Out of the stealth doghouse. I just not following him.
I have him muted and followed, but yes. It's like one of those people who like starts off well and then it just and he's very, very dogmatic about certain stuff because I guess he blocked Chris, but like if you block him or if you unfollow him, he's harassed a lot of people I've known for the indignant of unfollowing him or whatever. So
do you think I remember what it was about? Back when we launched the site. When we left Vagary and launched Critically Sane, we were writing articles back when we wrote articles. And I wrote this piece about the iPhone C. You guys remember that one?
No.
Do you remember the iPhone C at all? So it was like the cheap version of the iPhone that was like colorful before they had colors on everything. And I wrote like this speculative article that like this could, you know, change how handheld gaming is. And he came in very angry, like nothing will ever change how handheld gaming is. Nintendo is the king of handheld gaming. Apple doesn't know anything about it.
I said, that okay, sounds like him.
We'll see what happens. Like, I mean, he's not wrong. Like, Nintendo's still here. I wasn't predicting the end of Nintendo, but...
And ironically enough, Nintendo was the one who changed the face of handheld gaming because there really isn't a handheld gaming market anymore. The Switch exists as partially in that vacuum, but there isn't a dedicated device to be like, oh yeah, this is the successor to the 3DS.
Yeah. It was about 7-8 years ago when he
again, the psychotic Nintendo fanboy, yes. And that, exactly. And it's so much that he has that reputation that people just know who he is.
Except Jeff, he's like, I have no idea.
No idea.
Well, better for you, Jeff.
Yeah, sounds like it.
So we'll be back next week with Hall of Fame. And then we'll figure something out for the week between Christmas and New Year's. But thanks for listening. Listen to VG Club, which will be going up probably the day after this goes up. So we talked about Batman Arkham Origins this month.
Ooh.
Not as good as I remember.
No.
Still not bad. Just not as good as I remember. Jeff, say goodnight.
Through eternity, loyalty, honesty, sticking together through thick and thin. Sorry, I had to get that out.
Not expecting that.
No, me. I mean, I'm happy that he's embracing my sing-songy goodbyes, though, so I will take that.
Just shocking. And good night.
May the Shrek be with you.
Damn it!